When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old muck of Fenners. We're back together, son, how are ya?
Hi, Bully, Gretch, we're back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got kids, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard, welcome to the club.
This is a crowd podcast.
A round of golf and an eating competition.
And he, the venerable captain, Sir Andrew Defifel Beef Johnson.
Just kind of smacking each other with a pitching wedge.
I know I'm wearing a vest, but fuck me.
The truth is, Andrew, I'm not very well.
And the ground staff would quite quickly see the word twat written in the bushes.
Because they're all asking, do you think it's bad for the game? Is Phil Mickelson a disgrace?
You know those noodle balls?
I love a noodle ball.
You think he'd want a red carpet down every fairway? I'm Andrew Beef Johnston.
And I'm John Robbins.
Welcome to Beef's Golf Club. Yes, John. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I've just come back from my physio appointment. We're focusing on my knee problem, my toe problem, and my rotator cuff problem.
How? All from running?
The knee problem is from a fall I had running at Christmas, and that's much better now. The toe problem is I've just got a bad toe joint, which I've had problems with for years. And the shoulder, I've only really noticed since doing CrossFit because I've got a problem with my left shoulder, not much mobility. So I've been getting exercises for that. And what I really like, I mean, the physio, Helen, is amazing. I always pretend I'm an elite athlete when I'm getting a physio appointment. And it's so much fun having your, like, she was making me do all these different positions and like pressing back against her hands and stuff. And it's like someone finding out about your body because she's going, oh, that's interesting. Huh, why is it doing that? And she's sort of a bit like a detective trying to work out what's the idiosyncrasies of your muscular setup. So it makes you feel quite special.
You like that. I find it like really embarrassing because when they find something and it's like, you can only move your shoulder that much or your hips only open that much. And I'm like, is that bad? And they're like, well, it's supposed to move sort of 45 degrees and you've got 12. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but also it's difficult for you because when they ask you to like take your top off or remove your shoes, just there's crumbs falling out and sort of chicken wings and stuff and brisket. Oh, sorry, I forgot to take that brisket out of my armpit. I've been keeping that for later. You've got some barbecue sauce all down your arms.
I know I'm wearing a vest, but fuck me. Come on. Hey, John, do you want to know something interesting?
Yeah.
I still do a Wordle with my family.
Yeah, of course you do. I do Wordle every day.
Guess what the word was today?
I know what the word was today because I've done the Wordle today.
Well, we might be doing a different Wordle. New York Times one.
Yeah. That's the only Wordle.
Have you done it?
Yeah, let me just double check. Yes. Oh, yes, of course. How many did you get it in?
I got it in four.
Yeah, I got it in four as well. I went spank first because I've got a filthy mind.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah. The shank gong on Wordle.
We'll have to add you into the group.
Oh, yeah. I've got a spreadsheet. I've got a Wordle spreadsheet. We've been doing it for the past, 2 years. I'm the Wordle king. I've won the most Wordle weeks. We're going down a long rabbit hole here with me and Wordle.
Have you ever had a one?
So on the Wordle group, we had to ban sharing your grids because you could start to work out the Wordle from just the yellow and green squares. So what we do now is some weeks we play grid mode where you share your grids, and I have been able to work it out. So I have some ones from that, but they don't count as actual ones. The only actual ones, and this is seven people playing Wordle every day for 2 years. We've only had two genuine ones. And that was my friend Alex with audio and my friend Robin with louse. And on the day it was louse, I know that that's his starting word. And I was so excited. And that was only about three or four days ago.
I am stunned that you can work it out by looking at the grid. How is that even possible?
The truth is, Andrew, I'm not very well.
Well, anyway, mate, I can't believe how sidetracked we've got. But last episode, we talked about applying for Beef's Golf Club to become Royal Beef's Golf Club.
Yeah.
You have to be in charge of this one. I want to know, have you written a letter yet to the royal household?
Well, when contacting high royals, high officers of state, it's important to make sure you get everything right. So I've drafted a letter for your approval. I've tried to keep it informal because I know King Charles is bringing sort of a more personable approach to the royal family. So I thought maybe I could run it past you and you can agree to sign it off.
Absolutely. I want to hear this.
Okay. So here we go. Starts obviously with the address. His Majesty the King, Buckingham Palace, London, SW1A1AA. For the attention of His Majesty Charles III, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of his other realms and territories, King, Head of Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith, Sire Malud. This being the merry month of April in the year of our Lord 2024, I write with pressing haste on a matter of national import, signifying to your grace a matter touching on royal assent forthwith. We, your most humble servants, I, the Right Honourable Johnny J.R. MP, and he, the Venerable Captain Sir Andrew Defyful Beef Johnson, Earl of Middlesex and the Surrounds, humbly request the attention of His Royal Highness King Charles III to the matter of golf clubs bearing the appellation royal. You don't think it's too stuffy so far?
I don't understand a word of it, but I love it.
We, the undersigned, invite His Majesty or representatives to visit one Beef's Golf Club in order that he or they on said Majesty's behalf bestow the title royal upon foresaid members' club. Beef's Golf Club is of eminence, playing host to dignitaries His Right Reverence the Lord Jimmy Anderson, Her Grace the Most Honourable Lydia Coe, and His Right Fierceness Tony Bellew. We strive to serve the common good of your subjects by focusing on inclusion of all in the royal and ancient sport of golf, and on visiting, we hope His Majesty will take advantage of our world-class facilities, including but not limited to the courses Fillet, Mince and Short Rib, Spoonie in a Jukebox, and a Jacuzzi full of mayonnaise. We are of sound financial position and send alongside this request our best wishes to Malud, his attendants and courtiers with all befitting regalias. We have the honour to be, sir, your Majesty's humble and obedient servants, signed the Right Honourable Johnny J.R.M.P. KBE DCO MBAR and the Venerable Captain Sir Andrew Defyful Beef Johnson, Earl of Middlesex and the Surrounds. What do you think? Sort of quite informal.
I think it's perfect.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
I think it's absolutely perfect. I don't know if you want to warn him about, obviously, if the king wants to come and play, he can play, but he's still going to be limited to 50 balls on the range. regardless how many balls he wants.
Very good point. I'll just add that as a PS.
And I think you said, obviously, he's sort of more personable. Maybe dropping a little line saying if he wants to come on the pod too.
Yes. So adding this as a PS, we politely request that His Royal Highness abide by all Beef's Golf Club rules and regulations upon his visit, including but not limited to 50 ball limit on the range. Is it going to Vegas if he gets a hole in one? And any what was Tony Finau's rule about slow play?
Yes, and he must get round in 3 hours 25.
Must get round in 3 hours 25.
I think it was 3 or 3:15, wasn't it?
Yes, we're also going to have to arrange a royal buggy, a horse-drawn buggy.
Oh, yes,
yes, definitely a horse-drawn buggy with gold adornments, jeweled roof, and sort of. Have you seen those pimped buggies? They look so cool. Where you've got, like, he can have a radio. He's allowed to play music on the course, of course. I'm sure that His Majesty will be playing a lot of choral music. Perhaps Zadok the priest as he drives down the fairway, or is driven by trained horse folk. We'd also probably have to have a red carpet going down the middle of each fairway.
You think he'd want a red carpet down every fairway?
I think it would be befitting to His Majesty's office.
Do you think we'd just spray paint it?
Yes, I think that would also be befitting to His Majesty's office to spray paint the red carpet.
I think you should send it. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, I've added that PS and that will be sent off to His Majesty. And I expect to hear back very quickly.
Well, mate, that's signed off. I think we'll park it for now. Let's see what's come back. But right now, we've got a guest on the way. Let's get him in. Right, guys. We've got an absolute YouTube social media legend joining us in the clubhouse. It's Max Fosh. How you doing, man?
Hello, guys. Yeah, nice to be here. This is exciting. Anytime I can talk golf is always welcome for me.
Well, Max, you are... One of the most popular YouTube accounts in the world. Is that safe to say?
I'm glad that what I asked to be said came through on email. I don't know. I guess I've got some subscribers, which is great, but it's just like I'm just trying to make the silliest and stupidest things that I possibly can do, really, which is basically the MO of the channel.
And when you started, was it literally like, I've got a crazy idea for a video, I'm going to put it up, and you had no followers and it just grew from there? Or did you sort of, did you bring people to YouTube from something else?
No, so I used to be in the hostel radio game. I was quite the player in the hostel radio scene in Newcastle. I was at university and I did 4 years there. There was a moment where I very nearly got sacked on hostel radio for playing accidentally Highway to Hell, purely because I thought the intro to Highway to Hell was just a fantastic opener to a radio link. But I was then hauled into the office and told me that was not a suitable thing to be playing to members of the general public in hospital. But I'd always been, like, you know, doing silly things at uni, and then I started interviewing students on nights out, which, you know, is not a format that was particularly revolutionary. And it kind of grew from there. And then when I left university, I started doing some more sneak-in stuff. So, like, snuck into London Fashion Week as a fake model, got invited to parties, and was just wearing stupid things like oven gloves and some chemistry safety goggles, and just pretended that I didn't want to speak to anyone and said, talk to my agent quite a lot. So I was always kind of doing really silly and stupid things with my mates anyway. And then when I started filming them, it took like a year or two for me to kind of get to grips with how to kind of construct it all into a video, into a story. And like, it's gone from there. I've been making vids for like 5 years now, which is a bit crazy.
So obviously you're making all the videos and that's come straight out of uni. When did you start playing golf?
I started playing golf at the age of 5. Wow. Which I mean, when I say that I'm a kind of a 17 handicapper, it shows what the hell have I been doing for for the last kind of like 24 years. But my dad was a professional sportsman. He was a cricketer, and so like sport was like a big part of my life growing up. So like I was given a club in my hand when I was about 5 and just went down to the pitch and putt and just kind of like tried to swing around. So I've been playing golf for many, many years. But I've never been a member of a golf club, so I've always slightly sponged off mates to, you know, get a tee time, and so never have really improved at all, which I need to get better at.
So I see that you're holding your pint glass here in Beef's Golf Club. Absolutely. With your left hand.
Yeah.
Are you a true left-hander, or are you a righty lefty like me?
No, I am a true left-hander. I do everything with my left, like right with my left hand, play football with my left foot. But yeah, John, because you do play left-handed, and yeah. What was the reason for that?
When I was growing up, I played a lot of cricket, and I could always bat both left and right-handed, and there came a point where I sort of had to pick a side. And I couldn't work out which way to play. So a friend of my mum's who coached cricket told me to pick a bat up off the floor, and I picked it up and he said, "You're left-handed." So
it's like the sorting hat at Hogwarts. You just kind of like someone decided for you.
He saw the way I picked up the bat. So then when I started playing golf, it just was natural that my cricket swing and my golf swing be the same side. And now, weirdly, if I try, I can't hit a ball right-handed. I cannot even make contact with a golf ball with a right-handed swing with a right-handed club.
I mean, Beef, surely you can like go left or right just depending on how you're feeling.
Mate, I'm so like ingrained into hitting it one-sided. So like even if I throw a ball or do anything going the normal way, like a right-handed swing is 100 times stronger than the other way. So if I swing a golf club left-handed, it is pathetic.
I mean, I always get very frustrated, and we'll go onto this as to what I'd like to see in my golf club, but the distinct lack of options for left-handed players in a pro shop is absolutely outrageous. You go in there, they've got 100 right-handed putters and just one Scotty Cameron left-hander that's been gathering dust for about 25 years. There's nothing for us, John, is there? There's nothing for us.
The thing that bugs me the most is left-handed bays, right-handed golfers in left-handed bays. Absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, I was very lucky to play in the BMW Pro-Am a couple of years ago, and I got into I just got into one of the driving range bays, and I just took my club back, and I just suddenly felt contact at the top of my swing, and accidentally had crossed swords, as it were, with Dan Walker from BBC Sports to my right, and it was quite an awkward way to introduce yourself to one of the finest sports broadcasters in the land. Just kind of smacking each other with a pitching wedge.
Well, we're going to talk about your performance at the BMW. But first off, tell us about your sort of game in general. What are your strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, absolutely. I have got like a lot of left-handers. And kind of like if you kind of come from the cricket background, that you don't do a bit of a cover drive. So the shot shape is a big slinging slice. So I do often aim at the kind of fairway to my right and just hope that it does come back. I cannot putt, which is always acceptable. And there's a lot of clubs in my bag that I haven't touched for many, many years. So I'm all in all just, I need a lot of work. It needs a lot of work. I'm very surprised I often, whenever I do get invited to kind of big golf events, because I'm thinking, oh God, I'm not suitable. I'm not in a position to be able to compete here.
How did you find going into Wentworth Pro-Am? Because it's one of the biggest Pro-Ams in golf.
I when I was started making videos, it was kind of one of the things that I just kind of focused on. I want to get to a level that I might one day be invited to the BMW Pro-Am. And You get asked, but then you don't really get told who you're playing with about like 4 or 5 days before, and they send you this big list, this big sheet. And so it was a little bit like looking when you're at school to see whether you've made the team for the sports team. You have to try and find your name, and then you're scanning left or right as to see who you're playing with. And I've played 2 years, and the first year I was in the morning session, because I do the morning and the afternoon. And I was playing with Victor Perez, who's a French golfer, and then two gold medal winning curlers, Yves Muirhead and Vicky Drummond, who'd literally just won Olympic gold, and me. And I kind of like, I very much felt this as we were walking around, is that I was in a group with the finest sportsmen and women of their field in the entire world. And a bloke who writes "Welcome to Luton" in massive letters next to Gatwick Airport. Like it was, I did feel very much out of place amongst that group of individuals. But I also had my dad as a caddy, and this is probably up there with one of the most embarrassing moments I've had on the golf course, is because I was already quite nervous, and you know, dad was there, and it was great because you know he taught me how to play golf. Nice full circle moment. Do you want to carry the bag for me, Dad? And my dad comes from Essex, so he's a you know very charming guy, but he'll give everyone a nickname very, very quickly. And I was just trying to kind of stay under the radar, and he was like calling Victor Perez Victoire, and Yves Muirhead Evo, and I was like, Dad, please can you shut up? Like I just for once, just please don't be the like embarrassing dad, because I'm trying to keep a low profile here anyway. He wasn't raking the ball. He was being a genuinely very bad caddy as well. You know, I'd like hit a bunker shot. He had a great shot and just walked with me with my bags. Like, no, Dad, your job is to rake it. So, but I was very lucky that I played in the morning. So, and it's a shotgun start. So I kind of had 4 or 5 holes where no one was really about before I got to the big statement pieces of, you know, the par threes.
Oh, brilliant. Obviously, your content is a lot of pranks and funny stuff. Any ideas, or did you have any thoughts about doing many pranks at Wentworth? Did you do any pranks?
Yeah, I did get asked. I very much got asked. Like, it's always funny because you get a call from somebody who works at the event, who's been told by someone, their boss, be like, I know we've got this guy who does a lot of like silly stunts. Can we just make sure he's not doing anything? So they suddenly give you a call, and it's kind of like an undercover police officer trying to find out where all the baddies are. And he goes, hey, I'm cool with it. Just, you know, I'm cool with it, but we just need to know whether you're going to be doing anything or trying anything. And I said, no, I wanted to be invited back. So I made sure that I didn't do anything that was, like a bit too, you know, out of pocket. I have got many ideas of things that I want to do. I mean, one of my absolute idols is of course Maurice Flitcroft, who entered the Open I think 3 times in the 70s just by ticking the box saying I am a professional, considering he'd never played golf before. But I think they've slightly closed that loophole. I'd love to do some planting of flowers, azaleas in Augusta to spell something out over the back of the 12th green, but I feel like that would take a lot of planning, and the ground staff would quite quickly see the word twat written in the bushes and get rid of them.
Have you thought of videos you could do whilst playing a round of golf?
Yeah, I'd love to get 2 identical twins, one who can play golf, one who can't, just so that you can just like swap them in and out, like from contrasting holes. So it just looks like someone is just having the most roller coaster round of their entire life.
Oh, that's not bad.
I did. I also got like this year, I got reached out to by the R&A for the Open. They were like, hi, Max, we'd love to do some work together. And I was kind of thinking, This is an odd kind of reach out from their marketing team, considering they're kind of the establishment and I do incredibly stupid things. But they asked me to pitch them some ideas. And I pitched an idea of having like a full choir singing heckles as people like take their drives. And surprise, surprise, they kind of emailed back with a polite, I don't think this is one for us. But I think there's so much opportunity, especially like going against the contrast of like a stuffy golf club, that you can do just to have a bit of fun. I mean, Tubes and Andrew and Golflife are very much taking up that mantle with aplomb, that's for sure.
So do you remember what you shot on the in the Pro-Am?
The Pro-Am, the format is absolutely, it's the best format you could possibly do, because you take the best drive, which is always the pro's drive. And then you can't score worse than a par of like your handicap net par. So it's, if you're like, you know, on, if you're shooting your fifth shot and you're in the trees backwards, upside down, then you can just pick up and carry on. But I think we did pretty well in the first year. I've played twice, and we shot 18 under in a kind of a scramble format, which I think got us third place or fourth place. So I can very confidently say that, well, I can legitimately say I've shot 18 under at Wentworth on Wednesday. So I don't think I'm going to be beating that score anytime soon.
Yeah, we had, when I played in the British Masters at the Belfry, and we shot 18 under, but that only brought us mid-table because one of the teams had Dan Walker on it, who you mentioned,
yeah.
And he should not be in the AM category because he plays off plus 0.5, which I don't think counts as an amateur.
No, as soon as you're getting decimal places in there, it just seems a bit unfair.
Yeah.
Beef, I mean, I'm really fascinated though about like those Pro-Am days, because from a pro's perspective, is it a little bit like, oh, I don't want to play another round with people I don't know? Or is the major competitions a little bit different?
Wentworth, it's a great Pro-Am, because you get to meet so many different people and it's big. But the problem is the time. I'm not sure how long it took you to play. I'm guessing about 5.5, 6 hours.
Yeah.
The last time I played it, when I played the Pro-Am, I was due to play in the afternoon. And I got the tee times through about an hour before I was teeing off for the Pro-Am. And I was off at like 7:30. And I was like, we're teeing off at 2:00. I'm not, 6 hours. I'm not going to bed now till 11:30. And I've got to be up at 4 a.m. So I turned around and I said, you're going to have to move me to the morning because I can't have that tee time. So like they were good about it and moved it. So you have to be careful because they do, they take 6 hours. Yeah. And it's a long day out on the course. It's a fun day, but it's long.
Because normally the Pro-Ams is there a Pro-Am at every kind of tournament, let's say on the DP World Tour?
Yeah.
So who are the people playing in those kind of Pro-Ams? Is it a lot of the sponsors?
Yeah, so it'd be a lot of the sponsors, the promoter, he could sort of bring who he wants along, whether it's some friends, business colleagues, whatever it is. Yeah, keep the sponsors happy. And they're, from a playing point of view, they're important for the golfers. And I think we can lose a bit of sight sometimes with the Pro-Am, because sometimes, yeah, they can be a long time, but actually we need to give back to the sponsors because they're the ones putting up the money that we play for.
Yeah.
Well, this is like the point. Do you remember Nick Faldo made actually in an interview at the British Masters where he was talking about how golfers can be a bit precious? And I think the example he was giving was like people refusing to do like press interviews afterwards. You know, the sort of 100th ranked golfer in the world saying, oh, I haven't got time, I can't be bothered with the press interview. And he was sort of comparing it to Formula One, where people, you know, really go the extra mile to do all that kind of stuff. And I kind of see that, because when I was meant to interview some golfers at the British Masters, and they basically all kept pulling out, and they were, the organisers were really like nice and kept taking me to one side saying, oh, well, we're struggling to get this person, and so we're trying to line up this person for you. And then they were like, oh, this isn't going to happen, so you can sort of stand down. And I just expected a golfer to have to do that sort of thing.
When you're playing well, it's like an absolute, yeah, no problem. But when you're battling something on the range or you're not putting well and you've come off the golf course and you've played like shit and you go to the range, the last thing you want to do is go and like do an interview and anything, because you're trying to work out the day before, 2 days before, how you're going to get it around the golf course. So yeah, some of the players, like I've done it as well, where I've had an absolute head off on the range. I've been livid and I'm like, you're going to have to move this for another day because I'm not in the mood to do this.
But beef, like, what's the? I always wonder, like, they always talk about, like, oh, he's been media trained, or the word media training gets bandied around a lot, and I have no idea what it means. What do you, have you been media trained? And if so, what does it mean to be media trained?
I think media training is just being really cautious of what answers, sometimes sitting on the fence and basically giving an answer but not saying anything. I mean, Tiger was the best at it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, where
he was doing a lot of interviews.
Yeah, but he was, people ask him so many questions or controversial questions, or sometimes journalists might ask you a really controversial question to make a story out of something. So sometimes, like, definitely after you've played a long day on the golf course and your brain's sort of a bit frazzled, you can come off, and if they ask you a tricky question, you might turn around and say something and it might be the wrong thing, and next thing it's blown up. So people are very cautious what they say.
I mean, yeah, you got DeChambeau, who bought, like, 4 years ago, said that Augusta was a par 67 or whatever it is. And, like, they were talking about it, like, this year as well, when he shot, like, you know, 66 in his first round. There's like, oh, he's only one under par for his round. And so I guess, yeah, I think he had to say in an interview, look, guys, I made a mistake. Please stop bringing it up. I was wrong. I know I was wrong. Stop it.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. They'll try and catch certain people out. It happened at the US Open a few years back. Do you remember when Phil Mickelson hit that putt while the ball was moving?
Oh, yeah.
I was playing with him that day.
Were you? Right?
Yeah. I was playing with him. So when he did it, I chipped up to about 6-7 foot. So I've watched the whole thing. And he's, like, chipped it, got back and forth. And then he's hit the putt. And then he's run and he's tapped it back. And I'm, like, looking at him, and I've looked at my caddy, and I'm like, what the fuck? And he's pulled his marker out, and he's just gone, I'll wait. And I was like, you wait? Is that it? So we had this moment. So then after he held out, I started, like, laughing and stuff, and we laughed about it, but I forgot about it during the rest of the round. When we come in and sign the cards, as I come out, I've never seen so many journalists and reporters in one thing. At that moment, I was like, oh my God. I was like, what do I say here? Because they're all asking, do you think it's bad for the game? Is Phil Mickelson a disgrace? And, like, you can imagine if I've said something like, oh, he's an absolute prick. What a fucking joke. He's taking the piss out of the US Open. It'd have gone mental, right?
Yeah, I mean, the kind of the chaotic evil in me would just kind of want to just say that. I'd just be like, yeah, what a twat. Like, it was the worst thing I've ever seen on a golf course, and just really go for it.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So, Max, you say you've never joined a golf club. What are some of the favourite courses you've played? And we'll maybe get on to some of the things you'd like to see here at Beef's Golf Club.
Yeah, absolutely. I do love a Scottish golf course, a bit of Lynx golf, because when it's nice and sunny and no wind, you kind of feel like you are the best golfer in the world, because it's very open and lovely. So there's a place called Isla, which is whiskey country off the west coast of Scotland, which is an island. There's a golf club there called the Macri. I've recently played up in Nairn Golf Club near Inverness, and what I really liked there is the clubhouse had a massive long window just overlooking the 18th and I think also the 16th green as well. And just to be able to be an armchair supporter once you've come in through after your round, you kind of turn into Andrew Cotter, because you're sitting there with like a lager shandy and you're discussing how difficult the up and down is going to be 20 foot off the green to the right. And you just kind of much feel like an expert in that moment. But genuinely, John, I'm a sucker for playing golf. And actually, one of the best things that has happened kind of since I've started making videos is I've put a few things on my Instagram saying that I do play, and just kind of viewers will reach out and say, hey, do you want to come have a round at this golf class and this golf course? So I've played a lot of rounds with people who watch the vids, and it's just great because you just can go out and...
I get too scared. I get, especially when like we're regularly putting up bad golf videos, people get in touch and say, do you want to play? I'm way too scared because you got to spend 4.5 hours with
them.
Yeah.
So I did this like the first time I ever did this, someone just reached out and said, I'm a member of Gerard's Cross. Do you want to come and play? And I said, yeah. And I said, but can I bring a friend? And he said, yeah, of course. So I called my friend and said, right, let's go Saturday, 2 o'clock. I got tea time because I've no idea what this guy's like. He might be absolutely crackers. So I went there, arrived, parked in my car, called my friend, and said, hey Jack, just in the car park, how far away are you? And in the background I could hear hoovering. I go, and he goes, oh mate, is that today? And I go, yep, it's in 5 minutes.
Oh,
and
no.
he couldn't make it. And luckily, the guy who I was playing with was a lovely guy, and I kind of like have played with him multiple times since. But it was quite nerve wracking because you're right. You're suddenly spending 4.5 hours, and the small talk has got to. You're starting off, the small talk has got to be pretty strong to sustain you.
The only three I've actually, having said that, I've done it three times. Played with people who've contacted me on social media, and I wonder if you can guess the common thread. I played Muirfield, Loch Lomond and The Grove.
This is exactly what I was going to ask. What is the cutoff for saying yes or no?
Yeah.
I think The Grove. Anything below The Grove.
Yeah, The Grove
I'm not playing, but Loch Lomond, yes, count me in.
Yeah, John, I got a Beaverbrook invitation and I didn't even check who the guy was. I was like, yeah, no, I'm there. Great, I'll see you there. No,
so I think we're gonna have the Max Fosh left-handed shop at Beef's Golf Club.
Absolutely. So I think they it's gonna be all left-handed clubs, and there will be the token right-handed club.
Brilliant.
For everyone just to walk around. One driver, a 7-iron, and a putter that all the right-handers can have a look at.
Have you been to left-handed golf at Silvermere?
Yes. Yeah, yes, I have, John.
Something else, isn't it?
It is. It's Mecca. It's Mecca for us lefties. And I've had a fitting, and I've actually got some new clubs on the way, because I've been using the same secondhand ones that were made in 2001.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm finally upgrading from my Callaway X14 irons, which are very... yeah.
What have you gone for? What's your new set?
I think some tailor-mades, and they are the P780s. Does that sound about right?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, the TaylorMades definitely start with a P. I know that.
Yeah. P790s is what I've gone for. But yeah, I've been playing with absolute relics. And I've never really agreed with people saying, oh yeah, get some new clubs, you shave a couple of shots off. I think that's absolute rubbish. But maybe if you're playing with kind of like things from the 20th century, that might be true.
Have you got them yet?
Yeah, I definitely think you're going to see an improvement upgrading 23 years worth of tech.
Yeah, no, they're on the way, Beef. So, I was playing the Pro-Am with those clubs, so I think maybe that will improve.
I reckon you'll hit it 15 to 20 yards further.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, without doubt. The technology, 20 years, is like... It's such a big gap between the technology.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, yeah, you should be excited. That'd be great. I know I'm shooting myself in the foot here. There's going to be a message saying, yeah, I still can't hit these. Still.
So we've got the Max Fosh left-handed store. What about food and drink? What sort of stuff do you like having on the course and afterwards?
It's food and drink. You've got to have, I think, a lager shandy, something that I really enjoy as soon as you come off the course. And you know that feeling of like you've been walking, you know, five and a half hours, that first sit down feeling where you really do a big sigh and a big exhale, your legs are absolutely shattered. So I think you need something to make the rest of your body feel absolutely exhausted. So the biggest slap up kind of roast, as you could imagine, is on the food and drink option, to have total body annihilation after a round of golf. So you are feeling tired and quite fat.
Total, I'm just writing this down, total body annihilation roast.
And that's not just on Sundays, right? That's
No. That is so if you're playing back-to-back round, I mean, and I also think they should do this for the pros after every round. So it's kind of a bit of a test of endurance, both on the golf course and also back in the clubhouse. It's kind of like they've recently, a lot of YouTubers have been putting on something called chess boxing, where you have a 3 minute round of boxing and then 3 minutes of chess, and you can win by either knocking out your opponent or getting checkmate. It's just combining the two sports, but just have this with golf, playing on the course but also having who can eat as much as they can when they get into the clubhouse.
I love this idea, as John knows. He's already told me off for talking about food too much on this podcast. I mean I am down for that. I mean, a round of golf and an eating competition.
Yeah. Just get as much as you can.
Is that, what about, can we not do a hot wing competition as well?
Yes, absolutely. Just get, also just have like various levels of spices as if it's the popular show Hot Ones, and just seeing a wing per hole that just gets spicier and spicier as you're playing a round of golf. To add the stakes.
You have finally piqued my interest, Beef, with the talk of spice.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon I could take you in a hot wing contest as long as they did veggie nuggets for me.
Oh, I tell you what would be great, right? Is depending what score you had on that hole, that's the heat level.
Yeah.
You've got to have at that wing after every hole. Yeah.
So eagle is lemon and herb. Birdie is like, I don't
sriracha
know.
Kind of level.
Sriracha, yeah. Par is Tabasco. Bogey is Encona. Double bogey, you're moving into the realm of
Naga. Have we got Naga yet, or is that triple?
Yeah, the ghost chili.
I don't think you want to go Naga yet for double. I think you would need something hotter than Encona. So there's a Scorpion Tabasco, which is really hot. And then triple bogey or above, you've got to go for one of those sort of awful skull essences. There's one called 100% Pain, which is quite unpleasant.
Yeah, De Bomb as well, which I've had once, which is, you know, you strip your mouth of any lining that there was.
So, Max, because YouTubing is quite a sort of solitary thing, it's not like... So I'm a comedian, so I know lots of comedians because I'm always working with comedians, but you're filming your stuff on your own. But are you sort of close with any top celebs as a result of your work, or any other YouTubers?
I wouldn't say top celebs. I mean, I have two people that work with me full time. So that's slightly, it kind of creates a feeling of there being an office and a community. And I've got to know a lot of other YouTubers, but we don't, like, I guess with you, John, like, and Beef as well, like on tour, you're hanging out with these guys all the time, or you're gigging with a lot of these people. I've not really got to like good friend status yet with any people. I mean, I did some work with the most high profile person I've worked with, Louis Theroux, and his team contacted me saying, "Hi, Louis's got an interview series that's coming out soon. We want to do a bit of branded like stuff. Like, do you have any ideas that we could do with Louis?" And I had this idea, which I pitched them, which was this. It was like, right, we stick Louis Theroux in the back of a white van, okay? And we drape curtains halfway down the container side of the van. And I say to people that Louis Theroux is doing a free poetry reading in the back of a van, and see whether they will get in the van. They get in the van, the door's closed, it's complete pitch dark, the curtain's open, Louis's there reading poetry by candlelight for 30 seconds and tell them to leave. And he loved the idea. And then literally about 3 days later, we had to source a van, like put a set in it, have a space for Louis Theroux. And he just sat in the back of this van for about 2 hours in Soho, and people just got in. And he was such a good sport about, ostensibly, he was just sat in the back of a Luton van for 2 hours reading kind of haikus that I'd written that were very stupid and very silly. But he kind of, at the end of it, he kind of very sincerely went out to me and said, Max, thank you so much. That was a really fun shoot, and I really appreciate you putting the time in. And he kind of said, oh, yeah, just get in contact if you ever need, you know, to do anything in the future. And I kind of thought this is what I love kind of really about social media, is that kind of the press junket world has gone from sitting in a hotel room asking about their process to sticking kind of a national treasure in the back of a Luton van in Soho and getting people to get in. But through the work that I've done on YouTube, I've kind of, you know, when you write in your contacts, like a name of someone, then brackets where they're from, I've got just the most outrageous kind of list of brackets of people in my phone, which includes Andrew Welch, who's the British naturist press officer. So if I need to get naked, you can give Andrew a call. And there are just hundreds of these, which I've got a Mount Etna guide. It's very, very odd.
I wonder if Louis Theroux plays golf, because a beast's been trying to get hold of, well, he's actually stopped trying to get hold of Mark Wahlberg. His WhatsApps have gone quiet, so maybe we might have to get you to use your contacts to get us either a naturist. Nude golf.
Nude golf.
Has it been done?
Yeah, I mean, would you be interested? Would you be interested? I did spend 24 hours with naturists and got my kit off, and it was a fun experience, but maybe not one that I would probably do again.
Yeah, I'd want it to be warm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, you don't fancy adding a little nudist nine hole, do you, into Beef's Golf Club?
A little nudist nine hole. I don't know. I was thinking about whether we should add a Lynx course.
Slightly different.
Well, yeah, it could be a naturist's Lynx course, because Max was saying about how much he likes Scottish courses. And if we would have to move Beef's Golf Club nearer the sea, but one side could be Lynx.
To be fair, it would work quite well. They kind of go to the nudist beach, they just walk off the beach onto the first hole.
Mm.
I think it works quite well.
What were you saying, John? Is this going in?
I do like the idea of a Lynx course.
A little nudist pitch and putt.
You know, like St. Andrews, they have the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just something like that. Just a little putting course.
I wonder if maybe the sort of the holes that are actually on the beach side. So maybe you've got like three or four holes that are actually on the side of the beach. Maybe those, you have to take your clothes off for those holes because they back onto a nudist beach.
Yeah.
And then you pop your clothes back on for the sort of the back nine.
You've got to be very kind of like aware of other people's kind of cultures and ideas. So, yeah, you've got to, it's just polite, really.
Well, that's in. So, yeah, anyone wants to play nine holes, no clothes.
I've also, guys, if you need it, I've also got Pam, who is the British Naturism Youth Division, in my phone as well, just in case.
That sounds creepier.
That does sound creepy.
I'm not sure they should have a youth division.
Trying to get more young people into naturism is not something that...
I think that needs looking into. Let's stick to 18 plus, and that's definitely going to be a rule on our course, unless of course it's, you know, young children playing around in the sand as God intended, that's absolutely fine. But I think recruiting has a sort of sinister edge.
Was it the fact that it's called division as well? Seems quite odd.
So Max, it's been such great fun having you here. We ask all our guests to add a rule to the Board of Commandments here at Beef's Golf Club.
Yeah.
What would you like to see implemented?
So I'm a big fan of, you lose your ball in the trees in long grass, and you've kind of got the spot where you think your ball is, and you find a ball. You look down, and it's not your ball, but it is in a similar spot. But it's a Callaway, and you've been playing a Titleist. I think you should be able to play that ball with no penalty shot. So if you find a ball that is in the rough area that you are looking for yours, you are able to continue the hole with that ball with no penalty stroke.
Thoughts, Beef?
I can already see your face, John. I can see your face going, this ain't happening at the Cup. It's not happening.
Well, my concern is that means anyone can just drop any old ball into the rough and say, oh, I've found this ball.
Yeah, but that's cheating though. Because it's an element of luck though, if you find a ball within the rough area of where yours is.
Mm.
Max, we did a confessions episode a while back, and I couldn't believe the amount of people cheating.
Really?
Dropping golf balls. Yeah, and like the most obvious, it was just, they're not even bothered. Yeah, I've dropped a golf ball out down my trouser leg for the last 10 years. Every time I've hit it in the rough.
I think the only way I would accept that rule is if the ball has clearly been there for over a year.
Oh, right. Yeah, so it's got the little, it's got the kind
it's of... It's like caked in mud. It's plugged. Yeah. It's been trodden on. It cannot be a better brand than Wilson.
Fine.
So it has to be a Kirkland. It has to be a noodle. You know those noodle balls?
I love a noodle ball.
The best brand it can be is a Wilson, even though Kirkland do make quite good balls now, actually.
John, will you accept if it's a range ball?
Yes, I will accept a range ball.
Okay.
In fact, if you find a range ball in the rough, you're allowed to play it as your own. I don't mind that, actually.
Okay. Beaver, one thing I did do at the Pro-Am was, you know, the driving range beforehand, they got the lovely pyramid of balls, and it's a lovely brand. But on the side, it just says practice written on it.
Mm.
I did pocket half a dozen of them and have still been using them on rounds. Surely at that level, those are just good enough to play with, those practice balls.
Yeah, there's a debate saying they're all sort of the practice ones are sometimes the tested ones or the ones that are slightly out. But when you hit them on the range, they seem absolutely fine to me. I'm not buying it. Yeah, they seem absolutely fine. Have you drawn like a line over the practice bit, or are you just rocking it?
No, I haven't actually. I've just been incredibly blatant in my decision to play with a practice ball. It's kind of like practice and proud almost.
Well, we will maybe implement that rule on the mince course, I think, that you can play a ball that you've found as long as it's a range ball.
Okay.
Which will mean putting the range quite near the mince course, but that, you know, that's only a £5 million job.
So noodles and Kirklands, those are not allowed to find.
I don't know. What do you think, Beef? You'll have to have the say on this.
Yeah, that's all right. Top flights.
Oh, yeah, top flights. Okay, so anything Wilson and below.
Fine.
You're allowed to play. Well, Max, we thank you so much for coming. And we, you know, you've added the Max Foch left-handed store and also the Total Body Annihilation Roast to the menu.
Yeah.
Which is a very fitting addition to the club in your name. And we look forward to seeing some golf-based shenanigans on your channel. Everyone, check out Max Foch's channel on YouTube. Become the 3.71 millionth subscriber.
Please do. Come on board.
Can I just say, John, you've added a couple things. He's also added a links golf course with 9 holes nudists as well.
Yeah, that's true.
He's added loads. I love it.
That's quite a major addition, actually, come to think of it.
That's really big, yeah. Mate, thanks so much for coming on. It's been epic.
Thanks so much, guys, for having me. I love the pod, and hopefully I'll see you guys at an event or get some golf in.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Have a good one, man.
Okay. Cheers, guys.
Well, that was so much fun having Max on. What a good sport. I'd really like to play a round of golf with him because he's about my standard as well. And what do you reckon to his additions? The left-handed store, the total body annihilation roast, and the links course with adjoining holes on the nudist beach.
I think they're brilliant. Absolute genius. You know I'm a sucker for food. The roast is going to go down really well.
Mm.
I'm not sure how much I'm going to play the nudist course, to be honest. No one wants to see this naked.
Well, it might help with the old chafing issue, just to let the driver and the two Pro V1s fly out around in the air as nature intended.
And you finally got your left-handed shop as well.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have the left-handed store. I can't believe I'd not sort of fought for that to be added early doors. And it's got to have one right-handed putter and one right-handed driver in it.
So basically, it is just the complete reverse.
Yeah.
So we get to know what it's like to be left-handed.
Yeah, and only an extra, extra, extra large right-handed glove, even though a right-handed glove is called a left-handed glove.
Yeah, no, he was absolutely brilliant, and I love the additions to the golf club.
So goodbye for now, folks. We'll be back with you very soon. And a reminder to all you members that you can get in touch with your ideas, stories and confessions on beef@crowdnetwork.co.uk. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.